Welcome back to the Voices of Women Summit, where in honor of International Women's Day 2025, we are raising the voices of hundreds of women so their messages can be heard. Your host for this session is Kimberly Crow. Kimberly is a visionary leader, a powerhouse speaker, and the founder of the Voices of Women Summit. She's dedicated to helping entrepreneurs and coaches take the stage, share their message, and make an impact. With her signature energy, passion, and a whole lot of fun, she's got another amazing guest coming right up. Take it away, Kimberly. Hey, folks, welcome back. I'm super excited you are here. I have Lisa Ducharme here now. She's going to be talking about the power of sisterhood, fostering unity and support amongst women. Welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you, Kim. I greatly appreciate it. You know, I appreciate the opportunity, especially on National Women's Day.
Yeah, it's a big day. It's a big day out there. A lot of good happening out there in the world. All right. Well, I'm super excited about hearing about this, but I know you've got a story to share. So tell us how you became passionate about this particular area.
You know, most people know my expertise as business and veteran businesses. That's where I really focus on. But my journey to becoming an expert and really focusing on sisterhood and womanhood was really recent. It was rooted in my personal experience as well as reflective that I've done a lot since my dad passed. So growing up, I was a daddy's girl. I among three sisters. He was in the Air Force. We traveled. We moved every 3 years. And I'm an introvert and I'm shy. So let's just throw all that out on top of it. So I had to connect with somebody everywhere I went. And it was always a female. I had a very strong-willed mother. No doubt I get my confidence from her and I get my self-assurance from her. But we had a very complex relationship. So it was interesting as I was thinking. And when my dad passed away, I really started to think and reflect about things are happening today and why sisterhood is never talked about. I didn't talk about it until last year. And that introspective made me further think about the things that were happening in the world. So, you know, how do we have it where people with male body parts can be in locker rooms and bathrooms with women? And then the Supreme Court Justice Brown Jackson's nomination hearing. And those events really pushed me to focus on really, how did we get here? Let's delve into women's history a little bit more because I have no idea how this is all possible. And so I started reflecting on my life and I started to think about my grandmothers. One was a stay-at-home mom with 12 kids, very dedicated. My other grandmother was a nurse who was dedicated to three kids. I remembered my 10th grade teacher, Jane Swebke, who I still follow today. And I thought, these women had such impact on me. And then I thought about my best friend, Carol Gamache, who died of cancer back in 2005. But I also drew inspiration on public figures like Senator Elizabeth Dole, who I started following back in 1986 and loved how she just remained neutral and passionate for people. I met her several times in my Air Force career, and in 2020, I was selected as an Elizabeth Dole Caregiver Fellow. And wow. Then Queen Latifah, who I never met. And, you know, I started following her in 1998 with her song, Ladies First. If you have not heard it, I still listen to it today, which tells you how much I like that song. But I loved her focus on family and really nurturing and respecting everyone. And then my boss, Diane Duquette, when I got out of the military, she accepted me for who I was, which was a veteran. And that was really not much that happens. So then I started to reflect on my military life and how my military life plays a role in everything that I do. Because when I joined the military, there were less than 5% of the entire population were females in the military.
I believe
today,
that.
Today, it's like only 17%.
Oh, it's not all that much more.
No, I know. And who would think, why not? But that in the military, I think because I'm shy and an introvert, sisterhood was automatic for me. The first person I ever connected with at any base was always a female. But I didn't think about it. It was just so natural. It was like breathing. You just did it. And my friend Terry Pym, who ensured I attended every college class that she signed up for. And it was because she signed me up for those classes. And I thought, you know, that's women supporting each other. Even without me asking, she was going to support me. And the journey led me last year to really sit down and think. And so I co-authored Reflections on the Essence of Women, Not an Evolution, but a Revolution with Elisa Glass.
Okay.
And that, yeah, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
It's actually a really good reflective book. And through the process, I really discovered I really needed to know more about sisterhood. And I really wanted to talk a little bit more about it because of all the struggles that people came before us. But I think before anything, I think I should say what women sisterhood means to me, because it means so many different things to so many different people. So for me, it's a transformative collective force that bridges diverse backgrounds and interests, uniting women across social and economic boundaries. It embodies the deep sense of solidarity and mutual support, fostering a vibrant community that empowers women to pursue shared goals, and it lifts each other up. And that, to me, is sisterhood.
That's beautiful. And it's almost, it's poetic. Can you read that again? Would you mind reading it a second time?
Yeah, no. So it is a transformative collective force that bridges diverse backgrounds and interests, uniting women across social and economic boundaries. It embodies a deep sense of solidarity and mutual support, fostering a vibrant community that empowers women to pursue shared goals and lift each other up.
Beautifully said. I love it. All right. Well, how can we do a better job at recognizing and embracing sisterhood and sort of making that something that is not just for International Women's Day?
You know, I think we just have to be there for each other. One of the things that really bothers me is how many times people say women catfight. Don't ever say catfight in front of me because I kind of get a little bit ballistic. It's like, you know what? Why can't we just fight? You know, why can't we just argue? It can't be a catfight.
That's
and
a really
so
good point.
It's like, yeah. And imagine when somebody says it. And why do we have to be mean to each other? You know, I think back of between a Dolly Parton and Barbara Walters interview where Barbara Walters slammed her for her look. And I thought, how do women actually have the audacity to slam each other? These are two brilliant women.
Yeah.
And she asked her why she looks so funny. And I was like, whoa, you know. So I think that we need to just respect each other, be there for each other. And I think that that is really the key.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Wow. All right. Awesome. It's interesting that you were in such a traditionally male-dominated world, and yet you really embraced sisterhood along the way. Do you feel that it was because of that, or do you feel that it was just who you were and you were showing up in the world and embracing sisterhood just naturally?
You know, I think it was like breathing, because when you grow up in a family of all girls and your dad, and you just have that. My mother was very strong. There was never a question about having a mother who did not do what she wanted, when she wanted, and how she wanted. Bingo. That's it. Boom. And for me, I think because I was shy and an introvert, it creates a problem when you move every 3 years. So as a child, I moved every 3 years. So instinctively, I always had female friends. And then when I joined the military, same thing. I had to grasp to somebody. So it had to be a female because that's who I'm most comfortable with. And I think that that's the reason why sisterhood to me, even though it took me 59 years to recognize it, I think that's why it was so natural, like breathing.
I like it. I believe it. All right. So the power of sisterhood, fostering unity and support. Unity and support, two different things. Why did you choose those words?
Because one of the things, we have to come together. We have to stop this everybody for themselves kind of thing. And it doesn't matter where you come from or who you are. We really do have to come together because there's so much in the world. And a lot of times women are brought down if it's not by the media or by looking a certain way or acting a certain way. If we come together with unity, we are going to be stronger and we can do anything. And the support aspect, I can't tell you how many times women in professional roles and other roles will try to fight with each other. They don't support each other. And it shouldn't matter what we do. We should always support everybody. I mean, there are people I do not like, but you know what? I will support them if I can, even if I don't like them. Because for me, I think it's all about the humanity of it all. And so that's kind of why I chose support and unity.
I like it. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to live it. Brenda Warren must be a very dear friend of yours. She says, Lisa is the best at bringing women together. And I think that I love that you live by example as well. Donna says, great to see you again, Lisa. I always learned so much from you, my friend. And I'm really interested in finding out where we're going to take this next. Do you have some questions for the audience?
I actually do. So my first question, because I'm, like I'm saying, I'm reflecting, so it's going to be historical context. So when you think about history, I want to talk about Abigail Adams. How many in here knows that Abigail Adams wrote a letter to her husband, John Adams, March 31st, 1776, and she stated, "And by the way, in the new code of laws, which I suppose it will be necessary for you to make, I desire you would remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power into the hands of the husbands." How many of you?
Oh my gosh, that gives me chills. And Manette got it right away. She was like, "Remember the ladies." That's what she said. Yes, indeed. Powerful talk from our founding mothers. I love it.
Yeah. And I will tell you, when you think about that, the letter is, by the way, now out there and it's translated. So you can read the whole thing. And I am telling you, it sent chills up my spine about how women were treated in 1776.
Yeah. All right. And there is a question in the chat about the slighting, I will say, of women in the military. Is there still challenges with that? How did you find your experience there? Did you find that the other women supported you, or they were trying to stand on their own and they had enough trouble so they weren't going to help you, or that the biggest challenges were from men? How did you feel about that?
In my world, I didn't have any challenges. And here's why. And I will tell you, I'll tell you how other people also had experiences that were different than mine. So I was a military brat. My dad spent 30 years in the Air Force. I already knew the military inside and out. For me, there was nothing you could do to shake me. But I will tell you, my first boss, because I had to call my dad and I was crying when I called him. My first assignment, Clark Air Base, the Philippines. So I want you to think about the Philippines, the country itself. And so sex and women went hand in hand back then in those days. And so one of the things was, when you go there, the culture itself is a challenge. My boss actually expected to be able to treat me like he would treat somebody who was a Filipino. And so he had me go get his coffee. He had me get his uniforms. He had me go get a regulation, but wouldn't have me look at the regulation. So I called my dad and I'm at home and I'm crying. And he says, "Lisa," he said, "go to your training manager. Let her know what's going on." So I will tell you, when he left with no decoration. He was lucky he was still in the Air Force, because my training manager, who was also a female, documented everything. I followed everything she told me to do. The documentation to show that he was not utilizing my skills that I was put there for. So for me, I had no problem addressing it. I had no problem taking him down. With the help of my dad, of course, but I had no problem taking him down. And then, there are women who actually, there is a friend of mine who was in supply, And it was a male dominated. Everything was male. I was personal affairs at the time. So I was in a half female, half male. So it wasn't totally male dominated. It was administrative. She was in supply. They gave her a rash of crap. She didn't even last 4 years without really overstressing. And so it really all depended on which career field you took in the military. Do I think the military is still the same? Depending on what your assignment is, what career field you went in, we're always going to have challenges. I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing, though, because the reality is we take on every challenge head on. And if it's something that you want to do, we had our first female Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force a couple of years ago, which is the highest that anybody can make in the Air Force who's enlisted. And so I think that even though it still has a very high, heavy male rate and that we still have high rape in the military, women are strong and we don't play. And I think the more we don't play and the more we come together, the stronger we become.
It's nice to know that there were women supporting women in the military. That's wonderful. I know that really early on when I was working in corporate, people would say women bosses can be really mean to women, even more mean than men bosses can. And I have found examples of that. I won't say it's all the case across the board because it's not, but there are definitely examples of that. Where you're, and I think it's sort of like, well, I fought my way up here, and so I'm not going to make it easy for you, which is exactly the opposite of how we need to embrace each other. Would you agree?
Oh, 100%. We have to embrace each other. You know, I always say, and I established the Massachusetts Veterans Chamber of Commerce this way, is I'm not just going to open the door for you. I am actually going to walk you through the door. I'm going to be with you as you walk through it, and I'm going to help guide you because I've already been there. So let me help you get through that same door. And I think if more women took that approach, I think we'd be a lot better off.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have any more questions for the audience before we move on?
No, but I do want to address that one that's listed in there about the recent edict of no women in combat. I want to clarify that that's actually not what that is. So women have been in combat ever since time began. Deborah Sampson was the first one who was in combat. So we've been in combat. What they're saying is that the rules have adjusted where they lowered certain criteria for positions specifically for women so they could go. So they're saying we're going to put the rules up at the same spot so men and women are equal. If you can meet these standards, you can go into combat. So it's not a direct, we're not going into combat.
Awesome. So it's just, it's something that everybody can be measured by equally. And if you meet these standards, then you can go. It's not specifically, exactly. It's not specifically, I won't even go. I was going to say, it's not specifically targeting women. Like, I know, as a matter of fact, there's an issue with African-American women that were given really, that were having a lot of struggles with hair. And they were saying that, you know, that they were told that they could wear a wig or they could do, you know, they could shave their head or wear a wig. And those were the only two options. Or they could get like braids. And a woman that came to speak on Voices of Women was talking about, do you know how expensive it is to get those hair extensions? And do you know like how uncomfortable it would be to wear a wig? And so it was one of those things where it was sort of like, oh, you're just making it tough for us, right? do you think that happens from time to time?
Oh, yes. In fact, my friend Brenda can tell you all about that.
Yeah.
But it does happen. And what you have to remember, there's a couple of different things that you have to remember that in the military, there are specific structures you must follow. And hair is among the specific structures.
Absolutely.
Is it more difficult if your hair is extra thick, where my hair is much thinner? Absolutely. It means that there's going to be people who are going to say things, but they did adjust in the Air Force anyway, while I was still active duty, they did adjust it so that women with different textures of hair could actually wear their hair their way, as long as it fell within the criteria.
All right. I'm glad to hear that that's been updated. All right. Well, Lisa, you have an amazing gift. And I know that we were talking about sisterhood and then we super got into the military. But you are one of the few full of grace humans that I know that can talk about it so beautifully. So thank you so much for that. Lisa, you have a gift for our audience. It's called Unlock Your Essence, a reflective journal for International Women's Day. So tell us what they're going to get when they get this.
So if when you get to that link, you can click straight on the journal and download it. You're not going to get an email. It's a straight click. And then right above it, if you want to know, that journal is based on the book Reflections of Women of Essence. And I did that specifically because the book of Reflections of Essence of Women is all reflective. So I wanted to give you a journal that you could use to start reflecting today. And that's what that is. It's a journal to help you get that deep reflection.
All right. Awesome. And then if you're a VIP, you can get a bonus from Lisa as well. This is Harness the Power of AI. And she wrote it because she was sick and tired of people making mistakes. So tell us what they're getting if they're a VIP.
Yeah. If you're a VIP, you can attend any one of the sessions that I've put out there at no cost. One of the great things about this is it's very interactive, which means there's a link for you to go fill out and tell me exactly how you want to use the AI writing assistant programs, because I don't want you just to put in a few words. I want you to get the best out of AI because it is here for the duration.
All right. Fair enough. So I'm glad I'm a VIP because I'm going to grab that one. If you haven't already, you're going to want to click the link so that you can join us as a VIP. We've got another amazing speaker coming right up. But before we let you go, Lisa, oh, it's me. I'm giving a talk. Yay. All right. We're going to be talking about profitably speaking, the four categories of speaking opportunities and how to profit from each one. So that's coming up next. We have an hour long together. So we'll try to make it as interactive as possible with the audience. But before we let you go, Lisa, any final words for the crew?
Yes, I just want to remind everyone the power of sisterhood is not just about individual success. It is about the collective progress, how we make it together. It's about creating that ripple effect that is going to go across the world. Everything you do is a ripple effect, that much I promise. So let's just embrace sisterhood.
Fair enough. All right. Thanks so much, Lisa. We will see you all back at the top of the hour. I'm Kimberly Crow. Cheers.
Wow, that was an amazing speaker. For replays of this talk and all the talks, plus an incredible gift bundle, upgrade to VIP now. If you have any questions or problems during the summit, you can always email our support team at support@voicesofwomensummit.com. Stay tuned. We have another fantastic speaker coming right up.